Welcome to the Intuitive Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Deanna Riddick. I'm an author, teacher, and eternal seeker of truth. I am on a mission to spread metaphysical knowledge to help you awaken your spirit. If you want to learn how to open the door to your divine self, you are in the right place. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Intuitive Awakening. Thank you for joining me for today's episode. We have a lovely guest today. John Napolitano is joining us. John is a galactic Akashic reader who helps people access their soul's origins and journeys beyond Earth, drawing from those lifetimes, lineages, and wisdom across the stars. He's a Marine Corps veteran who served in Iraq, a former police officer, and an award-winning filmmaker and cinematographer. Welcome to the show, John.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yes, I'm so excited to talk to you because your background is so unique. Especially when it comes to, I will say, this line of work, like the Akashic Records. I would love to kind of kick this off understanding a little bit about your background. Even when you were young, were you religious at all? You know, or were you spiritual at all? Was your family, you know, Catholic or anything like that, or nothing?
I like to call it Catholic by default, actually. We went through our paces, communion, confirmation, baptism, all those things. And I guess it's like a what if, you know, cover your butt in case, we got it wrong. And, you're baptized, you'll go straight to heaven. So that was really that. But from a young age, I did know that I was psychic, or at least I knew something was going on. And, about 5 or 6 years old, my great-grandfather was 105, passed away, and he was the first death that I know of. Yeah, so I got some decent genes, thankfully.
And, you're around for a while.
Yeah, so, and, so he passed away. I was really sad, but a couple weeks after he had passed, he came to me in a dream, and I remember it so vividly, like it just happened, because in his life he was off the boat Italian, could barely speak any English, so he was always using his hands like a good Italian. Well, in the dream, he came out from underneath my bed and was using his hands to try to communicate with me, because he couldn't speak or whatever it was, because he thought that maybe I wouldn't understand him because of his language barrier. So I was very confused by that, but as the years went on and other relatives and close people that we know of had passed away, again, they would keep coming to me in dreams and, talk to me about what they're, that they're okay, and messages for loved ones and others, and just trying to reassure me that, everything is okay on the other side. So I always knew that I was a psychic, and I talked with my family a little bit about it. And, they told me, oh yeah, mom, my mother was psychic, my grandmother was psychic. So I guess it's kind of just runs in the family.
So there was no fears. Nobody thought it was weird or anything that you were having, like, these dreams or experiences. You weren't crucified.
I wasn't crucified, but I remember a couple of years ago, I told my dad that I saw an orb in Philadelphia. It was actually on a ghost tour, I saw it like float away, and I told him about it, and he's like, oh, we always thought your sister was the alien, but maybe you're the alien, actually. And then like a few months later, I'm told by another psychic that I'm actually an alien, and I'm like, oh, okay. So he had something, he was on about something.
Definitely. So you have these experiences growing up, but you end up become, you go into the military, right? And are you continuing to have these experiences, or are you kind of like just putting them in the background and dismissing them and then just going on with life as if it's there, but nothing that you're going to supremely acknowledge?
So there are things that happen. In 2005, I was deployed to Iraq. Well, before that, we were getting ready to go, and I just remember one night in my sleep, I was on a beach, and these two monsters, I remember, come walking from behind me from the water and onto the land, and they start smashing buildings and taking cars and throwing them into the ocean. And I'm just watching in horror of what's going on. And then when I wake up that morning, I go downstairs, I turn on the TV, and I find out that the tsunami in Indonesia had just occurred overnight while I was sleeping. And when I saw that, I was like, oh my God, like I saw that. Like, what is going on? Why couldn't I see that like 2 days earlier, a week earlier? I don't know if I could have warned anyone, but they would have thought me crazy back then. But I could have said something. Who knows? What I'm learning about myself as my journey continues is that there is an extension of me that's actually out in the galactic realm that I as John on this earth report back to. So I'm like an observer of events. And I report back through the astral realm of what's going on Earth. I'm sure there's many others on this planet that do the same thing, that have a similar mission. But that's just what I'm learning is why I'm not seeing it before it happens, like Nostradamus or so many others. I'm seeing it as it's happening because I'm a reporter and an observer rather than, taking action on that end.
So, can you kind of walk me through then this whole like moving towards? I mean, you're a police officer, and then you're reading the Akashic records. Like, how do you go from one to the next?
I sometimes say that I've had multiple past lives in this life alone. So I've always wanted to be in the military. I've always wanted to be law enforcement. It was always just like service. I've always wanted to serve others. And I had the opportunity to do both. And while I was in the police academy, I started taking photos and videos of our class training, and I fell in love with it. I never thought I was going to become a filmmaker. And it just like hit me. It was like a just one of those profound like understandings, like I want to do this. So I stayed in the police department for a little while, and then I decided it was time to go. I wasn't making the difference that I could as a police officer, so I left. I found the nearest film school, and I went there in DC. And for a number of years, I enjoyed doing that. But always in the background, I had psychic experiences and just these feelings that I wanted to be able to do more. But it never occurred to me that you could actually do this for like a profession, really. I thought that was just the Miss Cleos out there of the 90s,
Oh no.
and I know. And so a few years ago, I was going through my dark night of the soul, and I actually had a tarot reading with somebody, and she pulled out this card, and I believe it was probably the High Priestess, and she's like, "Oh my gosh, you're a psychic. You could be doing this yourself. Like, just go buy a deck of cards and find out like how learn all about it." And so it just like it clicked finally. I was finally ready to step into my true mission on this planet of being a psychic. I didn't know where I was going with it just yet, but I knew that that's what I wanted to do now. So I started taking classes. I listened to podcasts, especially yours, actually. Like I want to thank you because I couldn't have gotten through the tarot deck without like your entire like this is
Oh
the
my
the
God.
entire tarot. So I appreciate that. Yeah. So no, you helped, and I've passed it on to others. So thank you.
Thank you.
But I would take all these, and then I started taking psychic development classes. And while I'd meditate, I remember this one time I just started seeing these flashes of light in my eyes while I was awake and meditating. And all of a sudden, this gray alien just appeared in front of my face. And I was like, what is going on with this guy? I'm waiting for, like, I don't know, Jesus to pop in front of my face. And then I get gray Jesus instead. And it's like, and, so we're looking at each other, and I'm trying to feel emotions, I'm trying to get communication, I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. And he wasn't saying anything, so I told him to go. And a couple of weeks later, again, he came back to me. And I again, no negative energies, no positive energies, very neutral. So I told him to leave. And then a couple of days later, I had another flashes of light. And I'm like, okay, here we go, Mr. Gray coming back. Well, instead, I started getting flashes of images and documents. And it was like war-torn buildings and cityscapes. And I got this intuitive knowing that it was about the battles in Orion, the Orion Empire. So the next night, thankfully, we had a class, and I asked my teacher about it. I'm like, what is going on here? I'm seeing aliens and I'm seeing stuff about Orion. And she's like, you know, you're an extraterrestrial, right? You know, you're an incarnated extraterrestrial, a star seed. And I was like, that's a thing? I didn't even know that was possible. I never heard of a star seed up until that point. So I started consuming and learning more about it. And from there, I came across another Galactic Akashic reader, and I consumed all of their materials, and I took a course through her as well. And that's when I became essentially attuned to the Galactic Akashic records. I didn't know what was going to happen from it, but as I started consuming the material and listening and reading books on it, I found myself during the night hopping dimensions. I could feel myself getting lighter and then heavier and then lighter again. And I realized what was going on, and I took control of it in the dream and said, okay, take me up to the sixth dimension. So I'd float up to the sixth dimension. I'd feel so much lighter. I could feel the love. And I'd say, okay, this is amazing, but take me down to four. And then I go down to fourth dimension. And I'd say, okay, bring me down to the third. And I felt this crushing feeling of the third dimension. And I was like, no, take me up to five. I'd rather go there. So I found myself doing all these different frequency feelings and feeling those dimensions out. And then the next part, what happened was I would start focusing on people, and they, as I focused on their energy, I would start getting the intuitive knowing about what their starseed lineage was. And then for some of them, I would get full downloads all the way down to first incarnation in physicality. And I'd be walking down like a supermarket or at a restaurant, and I would look at someone, I'd be like, Pleiadian, Sirian, angel, and fairy. Okay, this is getting a little crazy. And I didn't know that this was going to all be happening, but I just started embracing it. And then one night, I found myself in this while asleep, I found myself in this huge simulation with thousands of other people. And I was walking around seeing all these different humans around me, and then I found myself on these dark streets, and they put a silhouette in front of me of a person. I'd start getting instant downloads of everything, starseed lineage, first, different battles that they've been in, or different lineages and different incarnations, all the way down to their first incarnation in the galaxy. And it would just happen over and over. New people would be dropped in front of me. I wasn't seeing their face, but I was just seeing their silhouette. And I would just get these instant downloads. And then I got this intuitive knowing I was on an Arcturian simulation, like a training simulation. It was like, I call it my graduation night for the Galactic Akashic Records. So, being the good American that I am, I was like, take me to your leader. I want to see the manager. Like, you guys just like, I know you're the good guys, but you abducted me basically and brought me on your ship. I want to talk to the manager and, get to the bottom of this. So they take me to this room that looks like a transporter room from Star Trek, but it's a holographic imager. And the Arcturians are so high dimensional. They're in the etheric realm that they actually had to holographically come into physicality so I could see them. And that's when they like talked to me and pretty much told me, like, this is part of my lineage, is to be able, my mission is to be able to work with others and and identify and help wake up humanity, in for the Galactic Akashic Records and everyone's in, knowing star seeds lineages and other light workers out there to help them.
So at any point when this, first happens and you're seeing like in meditation as a great alien, I mean, and then you're having these, very expansive, different experiences, do you have any sense of doubt? Are you questioning this? Do you feel like you're kind of losing your mind? Because again, for people who have their day to day, you're living your day to day life, and then kind of all of a sudden, you're having these unique experiences. Granted, yes, you're meditating and things like that, but how are you like digesting this? Do you feel like you're crazy? Because I kind of think that most people at the beginning, when they're starting to have these new experiences, they think, oh God, I'm losing my mind.
Absolutely. Yes, I thought, okay, is this, and honestly, I started meditating. I always, like I said, I always knew I was psychic and had mediumship abilities. But I really just started meditating just to become happier. That was like really the first result was just become happier, bring, better class of people into my life. I wanted to attract others, good people into my life, and then be good for others as well. What I didn't realize is once I started meditating, I would start seeing things, out of the corner of my eye moving around, half embodied, whatever, fairies, ghosts, all these things climbing into bed with me. All, yep, exactly. All the, you know, I, all these experiences started happening. I didn't know that was going to happen. And, I would have like, I would be meditating. And I'd be spinning on my, like on my hips because I could feel this energy. Like it's like busting through my chakras. And I didn't know what was going on. Like, why am I spinning out of control? And, then all of a sudden I'd feel like chest pains. It's like the heart chakra finally like busting through and finally, releasing and feeling like all this love and unconditional love and just being high vibration for like 45 minutes on end. And so I didn't really know what I was getting into when I started meditating. Just wanted to be, I wanted to have a smile on my face really. And now I'm seeing aliens. So I love the journey and I look forward to all the all the craziness that will continue. But I know I've helped not only myself, but I know I've helped others out there. And it's just, I just think every time I have a session with somebody, how much like love I have in my heart for not only them, but like the mission, on Earth and being able to help them step into their own mission as well.
Definitely. So, what are the different types of, and I guess we can use the word star seeds, correct me if I'm wrong, that you've encountered, like just throughout experiences, whether it's in meditation or, in dreams or even when you're doing Akashic readings for other people? What's the variety here that you see?
There, I've been getting a lot of the main players. When I say the main players, there's Sirians from Sirius A, Sirius B, Sirius C. The Pleiadians. I've come across the Polarians from Polaris recently as well, and it's pretty cool. I've been able to tap into their culture. Like a pretty much a race of reclusive beings and just very spiritual. I've actually encountered over the last several days more avian star seeds from Lyra. There's lots of the feline beings. There's Vegans, the blue Vegans. Oh, you have blue Vegan in you. I see it. That's not your first incarnation, but you have blue Vegan in you. I can see it now. And then there's the felines, and then there's also the just the Nordic Lyrans as well. So there's also other universe, the Dal people. I've come across a few of them too.
What are some dis I guess some distinctions or some the differences between these different groups? For example, the Pleiadians or Lyrans or Sirians or whatever. What are some distinguishing features of them, like identifiable, that you're able to detect?
So the Sirians are really interesting. So you have Sirius A, B, and C, the different star systems. Now, Sirius A, I've found there's multiple planets within that star system. But generally, I've seen many of those Sirians with like a lighter blue skin. There were some lion beings that actually settled in the Sirius system as well. There's also, I've actually found pink-skinned Sirians too. And I've come across a couple of people that have had incarnations as essentially pink Sirians. And I asked the records, why are they pink? I've never seen this before. Nobody else talks about them. And what the records told me was essentially when the Sirian refugees or the Lyran refugees came to the Sirius system, one of the planets that they chose to live on actually had this, was very inhospitable to the refugees. So they found this, it looked like a pink-skinned primate species on the planet, and they spliced some of their own genes with this species and incorporated that into their own bodies. So they could actually live on this inhospitable planet. So there's pink skins, there's some lighter blue skins, there's darker skinned Syrians as well. And then in Sirius B, you have the Nomo people, which are like, our mermaids that we know of, but they're actually more amphibian looking, and they have more like scales on their entire bodies. Like they kind of just look like a fish, but they're very psychic and they could create portals. I knew of the Nomo people, but once I started getting into the records, I saw them creating portals under the water and sending dolphins and whales to Earth. And if you know a little bit about like the Dogon tribe, they have an entire religion based on the Nomo people from Sirius B.
That's very, I mean, I think it's interesting to have such a, variety or diversity down here. And I guess what I'm also curious about is, okay, we're star seeds that are here for the human experience, but what is the, we have so many different groups. So let's say, for example, Pleiadians. Do you see like common reasons as to why, let's say, the Pleiadians themselves come here? Like, are they here as observers? Are they here commonly as teachers? Are they here, like, are they each playing specific roles, or is there diversity in that as well?
Well, some of them, I've seen some of the Pleiadian light workers I've seen are tend to be in the therapy, psychoanalysts, fields. They're not all pigeonholed. Many of them, though, like their core principle is that they can transmute negative energies. They are like a beacon of light on Earth, and some of it is for just the human experience because we have such a range of consciousness that all these other higher dimensional species don't have. But really, what they're here for is to help the ascension process on Earth. They're trying to bring Earth from the third dimension into the fifth dimension and raise the consciousness overall of the human, consciousness here. So that's really what the mission is for many of these star seeds, is to come here, be light workers, or hold the light within their bodies and raise the consciousness here on Earth.
So I have to ask you about the Greys. I don't know
Okay.
about them, but I think I've read or I've heard before in the past, not necessarily the most friendliest of groups, right? When you hear about abductions, it's always they always look the same. It's always like these short, either short gray or tall gray beings that seem to be unfriendly. So have you, encountered this? And if so, like what's been your experience?
Yes, I have. I
Okay.
hesitate to what to say what I you know what I've learned about them. They are not, I can't say that they're all bad. What I like to say is that generally we view them as bad because this is their nature. This is just the way they are. You wouldn't say in a lion that's attacking a gazelle is evil. It's just the lion's nature to be hungry to attack its prey. With Greys, however, they were part of the Orion Empire, and what I've noticed is that many star seeds that actually had incarnations in Orion as freedom fighters fighting the Greys and the other empire beings of the empire, those Greys seem to have a grudge still against many of those light workers, including myself. I've had to have some contracts dissolve from those. And from time to time, like over the weekend, I was working on several clients, and I found one of them had a tracker in in her third eye, and then a portal above her crown chakra, absorbing all the communication. We had to sever the connection and the contract that she had with these graves, because she was a freedom fighter in the Orion conflict in a different incarnation. So they seem to keep a grudge in a way. I've also dealt with them in my own right. They don't seem to like the work that I tend to do. What I believe that one gray, when I found him, when he was coming to me a few years ago during meditations, is that he was trying to actually scare me off from the psychic development classes that I was taking. And I think, and it's, I don't think it's a coincidence that exactly 1 year after I stopped seeing this gray, is I started teaching classes on the galactic, galactic history and star seeds. So I think that these grays knew that at, and within a year, within certain time period, I was stepping into my own power and my own mission here on Earth, and that they did not want me to do that. They wanted to try to scare me off of that.
Interesting. Yeah, that's, I don't know. I've never had, any types of experiences like that dealing with the grays or anything in meditation whatsoever. I think also what I'm kind of curious about, having gone through the Galactic Akashic Records for a number of people, what are some things that have been, that you've seen that have been very unexpected, very kind of like so wild that you even like you're kind of questioning it yourself?
I'd say every time I see something new, I'm always like, is this true? Like they, when I'm reading for somebody, I'll get quiet for a little while, because a lot of times I'll get an answer pretty quickly, but then I'm saying like, are you sure? Is this right? What's going on here? So when I found out that the Nomo were creating portals and sending whales and dolphins from, the oceans of Sirius B onto Earth to help populate the oceans, and then coming here themselves, I was like, really? That's a thing? Like, are you guys did that? Okay. I thought it was always spaceships just coming into the Earth's atmosphere, but there's actually portals that can be, have been created and come through Earth. Same thing with the mermaids in the fairy realm here. One of my clients, I was watching them create a portal from the shores of Atlantis to the shores of Lemuria during that time period. Seeing things in the future always are always really interesting to me, because that's when you really have to say like, wait, is this really true? Is this in my imagination? Especially I've seen like a fairly bright future for humanity, which is, which is always reassuring. I think people always get nervous about where we're going in a, as a species or as a planet. But from what I've seen, we're heading in the right direction.
Do you foresee contact in a way that can't be denied, by governments across the earth, like in the future, like outward contact where it's visible and it cannot be, debunked or what have you?
Yes. What I see is that in the next probably year to 2 years, that we're actually going to have an undeniable contact. It's not going to be White House, flying saucer landing on the White House lawn, and Mr. Gray coming out and saying, "Take me to your leader." But what I'm seeing is, most likely it'll be a disclosure from our own government, from NASA, or another, another branch. And what it'll look like at first will most likely be something along the lines of bacteria, living bacteria discovered on Mars, or something along those lines. And that is going to help shape the public perception of extraterrestrials once and for all, that we are not alone. Even if it's just something minuscule that we can't even see without a microscope, that just NASA finally coming out and saying, yes, this is definitely living bacteria, no doubt about it. Just that public disclosure from our government, will just be able to, reshape the mindset of humanity. And then what I'm getting is that shortly after that occurs is when we'll actually be ready to see an undeniable view. Most likely, what I'm getting is that it'll probably be a large ship that will kind of just come through the atmosphere, and that there will be probably millions of people filming it on their phones, news outlets, no way to deny it, and then it'll probably disappear from there. And that would be most likely like the first contact. Something along those lines. And then from there, I think many people, millions, are going to start waking up their own galactic awakenings, their own spiritual awakenings. Just the public perception is going to change. And there's going to be a lot of deniers too, I'm sure. There's just some people in this life that, they have their own soul contract and their soul blueprint that, they want to be shocked and denied. They want to deny it, their lives. And that's okay. I can't, we can't judge them for that. That's just their soul's blueprint in this lifetime. So that's what I'm seeing so far, probably by the end of the decade.
Exciting and curious. Okay, so let's say something like that does occur. Are there particular galactic groups that, or which galactic groups, maybe I should word it that way, have been the groups that have been coming and visiting Earth for some time? Do you have any insight into that at all?
I would say the first ones that we will actually see will most likely be either Alpha Centaurians or Pleiadians, because they look the most like us. If we saw a 12-foot purple Andromedan walk off a ship, people are going to be like, Thanos, and like everyone's going to freak out. So most likely we're going to have like a normal human-looking person. I think they just know it too, that it's going to be somebody that, we can relate to. And then after that, they'll start bringing in, other groups as well. Mind you, too, that they're in a higher dimension. We're still, we're still third dimension in physicality. Yes, our consciousness is starting to go into fourth and fifth dimension, but we're still rooted in the physical 3D. And the amount of energy it takes for these beings to lower themselves from seventh, sixth, fifth dimension into a third dimension where we could actually see them takes a lot of energy. So most likely we're going to see a being that is a little bit lower dimensional, probably fifth dimension first. It'll be a little bit easier for them to bring themselves into a third dimension so that we can see and interact with them. And then over time, I believe as we ascend into a higher dimension, into the fifth, we'll be able to interact with them more, and they'll be able to bring us up into a little bit of a higher dimension while they bring themselves into a lower dimension. Almost like a medium, how a medium works now is they raise their frequency, and the being on the other side lowers theirs just ever so slightly, so you meet in the middle.
Definitely. And I guess the big question that people ask quite frequently is why? Why come here? I mean, if they're in higher dimensions, if their consciousness is higher, what is there to experience on Earth, or why reveal yourself on Earth? Why is this valuable for humanity, I guess?
What I've come to understand is that the universe is alive. Think about Earth as an organ in the body of the universe. If Earth is sick or gets corrupted or gets damaged in a way, it's going to affect the rest of the universe, because the universe is alive and we're part of that fabric of that space-time, continuum. So, they have a vested interest in Earth, just like we have a vested interest in surviving and taking care of our planet. So that is why they've put so much attention on us, and that over the thousands of years, for the most part, the benevolent species of Arcturians, Sirians, Pleiadians, Alpha Centaurians, and others have remained mostly off planet and stayed in their own observing role, while also interjecting at times through channeling and providing star seeds and light workers to our planet to help raise the consciousness. But they have seen us as part of their brotherhood in a way, and that they're looking forward to us actually entering into the galactic, not only the Galactic Federation, but just the galactic community. So they do have a vested interest.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's certainly exciting and scary because, there's a lot of unknowns, but at the same time, I mean, the universe is vast. And we do feel so, isolated here on this rock in space. And I guess in my mind, I can't imagine what that's going to be like for humanity, but I know at some point that certainly will occur. So I think I also wanted to ask you today, okay, when people in our incarnate or spirits incarnate as humans into the earth, like why, or when you're doing your Akashic records readings, are you finding that most spirits are coming to earth, or are there other places, are there galaxies that they're going to for experiences more? I guess where are
So
we
what?
venturing out to or exploring more?
Well, I know I've seen I've seen beings that have come from other universes into our universe, our galaxy, and then here on Earth. I have yet to be shown anything about beings going into other universes or other galaxies. You know, I believe that the keepers of the Akashic Records, the angels, and higher selves are just showing me what's needed to help here on Earth and help the client that I'm working with at that time. Just telling me about the gee whiz of, oh yeah, this soul went over to this galaxy. That's kind of irrelevant to the humanity story right now, and that's why I've just been shown what it means for for those souls incarnating here now.
Do you find with your clients, do you find that the family they're born into, that they're all in the same, galaxy, or do you find like different, let's just say, species, if you will, all in the same family?
Generally, what I'm seeing is that they've had like parents or family members have had other lives with them in in different places. So a father might have been might have been like their child in a Pleiadian life, but their first incarnation was in Sirius. So yes, they are coming from all different places. Now, some souls do choose to come into a family that just doesn't get them because their family is just humans incarnated, souls incarnated as humans, and they are not star seeds. So, and that's a life that star seed chose to work on, is to to incarnate into a family where they may have felt like they're just an outcast, or they're that their family just doesn't understand them. And that's part of the karmic lessons that they wanted to work on in this life as well, on top of helping humanity in their own way.
So I guess my, if, okay, so if we have star seeds, forgive my ignorance here, we have star seeds, what do we have in addition to star seeds?
So there's star seeds. I've seen I call them just humans as well, but humans are spiritual beings, or their souls. What I've seen through the records is that there is just the own there is the soul group of humans, and to help bring raise the consciousness of Earth, light workers and star seeds and volunteers were brought here from other planets to help raise a consciousness, because they came from a higher consciousness than the human soul group that was just part of Earth. Now, I don't want people that are just human out there to feel disparaged. I mean, human souls are powerful beings in their own way, and they're on their own journeys. It's we're here to help anchor that light from the galactic realm on here on Earth to help them as well, so that they can they can join the galactic community as well. But also, there are incarnated angels here on Earth. There's also incarnated fairies too.
Interesting. So there was a question I meant to ask you earlier and I couldn't remember, but this is like the question I feel like everybody has. Okay. So on Earth, we obviously, we're taught in school about evolution, right? And then you have like creationists, whatever. So What's your take on this whole story of evolution? Did we have like other beings, come here and kind of kickstart humanity, or yeah, kickstart evolution, or what do you think?
Well, what I've seen in the records is that essentially the Anunnaki came down here for Earth's resources, mainly the gold and other precious minerals. And after some time, they got sick and tired of dwelling in the mines themselves and revolted against their own leaders. And so the leadership decided, let's take some hominid species that's natural on this planet. We'll drop some of our DNA in them. Boom, we'll get a worker race going. And that became humans. And they even inserted what's called like the worship gene in us. And that's why we're looking at every powerful person on Earth as a god, because they wanted to be revered and for us to toil happily in the mines without them, without them having to coerce us. And over several generations, what I saw is that the humans started to break down genetically because the Anunnaki's genes that they splice into us we're not holding over generations. And because of that, they were entering a crisis on the planet where it could potentially create a genocide of the human species. So they called out to the other Saurians out there, as well as other groups like the Arcturians and the Pleiadians Galactic Federation, to come help. So they all came here on Earth, and they essentially took pockets of different populations of humans all over the world and inserted their own genes and started to raise us in their communities, like little colonies on the planet. And that's where they formed like Atlantis and Lemuria and other societies, and we were essentially imprinted with their genes. So some people have like Pleiadian genes in them. Some have Saurian or Arcturian genes in them. These are, not only energetic light codes, but also actual genetic light codes. And that's why we have such a variety of different groups on this planet.
So would you say then today, given that that happened a very long time ago, would you say today, if people have these peculiar experiences where they have visitations, by various types of, we can call them, aliens or what have you, would you say those visitations are, they're, I don't know, alien ancestors or something to that degree? Or what's your take on that?
Generally, if it's a positive experience, it's usually a soul family member from a different planet. What I've heard from several clients now is that, as children, they would say, "Oh my gosh, like I always remember dreaming about these beings," and they would say, "You chose to be here. You made this decision. We're here to help you, but you made this decision. You can't come back now. You got to wait." So a lot of some of these star seeds, like their soul, just like I don't know, I guess has buyer's remorse in a way, where they're like, "I can't stand this like third density. Like these people don't get me. I don't get them. Take me home." And it's like, no, you got to wait. You chose this incarnation. You're going to be okay. So oftentimes, if you're having usually like a positive positive visit, or even if it feels fairly neutral, most likely it's just a soul family taking looking over you, checking in on you.
I think people would be glad to hear that because, it can be, I think, a frightening experience, especially if it happens at night, which I think a lot of these, experiences unfortunately do happen at that time. But, John, it was great having you here. Thank you so much for being a guest. If people want to connect with you, how can they find you?
Yes, thank you for having me. This has been amazing. And if anyone's interested, my website is galactic-guidance.com. And on there, I have more about my backstory, my human experience, my extraterrestrial experience. I've also created an entire page for galactic history about some of the main players, and then a few of the lesser-known players out there in our galaxy. And I have a whole collection of teaser readings from previous recordings. I've tried to blend my filmmaking background with my psychic background, so I created videos with music and sound effects, to try to entertain but also educate you. And if you're interested, and feel inclined for a reading, I would love to read for you out there. And we also are teaching classes as well.
Fantastic. And do you have any promotions running at this time?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Yes, I do. Yes, I'll provide. I forgot what the name, what the title of the code is, but there is a code for. Sorry.
Oh, no worries. I'll certainly put it in the show notes for everybody if they're interested. The information will be there for the promotion, John.
Okay, great.
Thank you again for being a guest. It was great having you here. And everybody who's listening, I hope you have a great day ahead. Take care. Bye-bye.